Lutheran Radio UK presents Love Letters, a study on the Apostle Paul's Epistle to the Romans with Pastor Arno Bessel.
My name is Arno Bessel. I'm pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. It is a pleasure to have you listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Welcome to Love Letters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This series of studies explores the letter of St. Paul written to the Romans. So far, we have covered the first 12 chapters. If you missed any of the previous studies, you still have access to them. The podcast of our studies is available for download. All you need to do is to go to lutheranradio.co.uk, find podcasts, and select Love Letters. In the first chapters of this letter, the Apostle Paul laid down the foundation of the Christian doctrine and the Christian faith, that is, what Christ has done for us, reconciling us to God and making us new creatures. Built on this foundation and trusting in Jesus Christ, follows a life and service to God and to our neighbor. Today's study is based on chapter 13 of the letter of Paul to the Romans. We shall consider how faith works in practice in our relationship with our authorities and our neighbor. To begin, let us listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 1 to 7.
Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities, resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed.
Is this text about politics?
No, this is not an outdated text about politics. First of all, let me say what the content and purpose of the text are not about. 1. This is not a discussion of politics in the sense whether this or that regime should be preferred, or how people should be placed and kept in position of authority, or what party citizens should join or not join. 2. This text does not say either how a Christian should react or what he should do if authorities go against God's will and commit what is evil. Should a Christian engage in strikes or in public protests against governmental measures? Although these issues are important and certainly deserve debate, the goal of the text of St. Paul is not to give answer to tricky questions or to solve difficult conditions citizens may find themselves in.
What then is this text all about?
This text stresses the following points. 1. It establishes God as the supreme authority. All governmental authority comes from God. 2. The text also expresses two basic functions of the authorities, which are, first, fighting and punishing evil, second, promoting well-being for the citizens. 3. The text also highlights duties of citizens toward the authorities. Bear with us as we explore each of these points.
The first point is the following: the supreme authority from whom all authority flows.
Scriptures state time and again that God is the authority of the universe and that He is in authority over heaven and earth. As the creator and maintainer of the universe, God is in charge of His creation. Although human authorities tried to conquer and dominate the world, all of them eventually ran out of steam and failed to remain in power. God, however, is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. There is no one equal. After accomplishing His mission on earth and after His resurrection, Jesus Christ declared in big and bold print, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." God governs the universe. In order to carry out this task, God establishes human authorities. The first authorities are parents, whom God establishes to govern the home, including raising and educating children. God also establishes authorities to govern His church, so that the gospel may be preached and believers may lead a Christian life. Likewise, God establishes authorities in the state to govern civil affairs so that general order and welfare may prevail. The text of Romans 13 deals with the governing authorities or civil rulers. The Apostle Paul underlines the fact that there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Human authority derives from God, who is the supreme authority. He places civil rulers in position of authority for the well-being of citizens. Government would not be possible had God not instituted it. No power could, to any degree, keep within limits the malice and unrighteousness of and among human beings if God's mighty arm did not stand behind it.
A second point the text of Romans 13 refers to is the basic functions of the authorities.
For what purpose do civil authorities exist? What is their function? The Apostle Paul says that the authorities are ministers of God, which means they are servants appointed by God to function for the benefit of society in general. The Apostle also says that the authority is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. That is to say, the authorities are in charge to keep evil under control and to punish evildoers so that citizens in general are safe and can enjoy well-being. On the other hand, authorities also function as promoters of well-being, looking after education, healthcare, security, transport, and other public services.
A third point the text of Romans 13 stresses is the duties of citizens towards civil authorities.
Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, says the Apostle. Obedience to the existing authorities is required because the authorities derive from God and have been instituted by God. Consequently, obeying the authorities equals obeying God, and resisting the authorities equals resisting God.
What is the motivation of a citizen to obey the authorities?
Evildoers or people with evil intentions may refrain from practicing evil out of fear to be caught and punished. A Christian, however, who is committed to practice what is good has no reason to fear the authorities. Hence, a Christian obeys the authorities for the sake of conscience and out of love to God.
Obedience toward the authorities is one of the duties of citizens. Is there any other duty?
Another duty is paying taxes and revenue. Jesus also referred to the same duty, declaring, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." In addition, Citizens have also the duty of paying respect and honor to the authorities.
I have got the feeling these issues we are talking about raise a number of questions.
Yes, I can imagine that while reflecting on what has been said so far, several questions, perhaps even feelings of anger and revolt, may have popped up in your mind and heart. You may have said to yourself, "Come on, this cannot be right." I sympathize with your thoughts and feelings. Several points of debate naturally arise.
I'm just thinking about the following questions. What about authorities who abuse their power, who oppress citizens, who act with violence, who exploit and commit all sorts of crime? What about corruption, injustice, unfairness, and the like, so common among people in the position of authority? Shall we as Christians simply submit quietly and blindly to them?
There are no easy answers for these questions. What we need to remember and bring into the overall picture is that authorities have their duties and they will be held accountable before God for what they do. For us Christians shall prevail the principles spelled out in Scriptures. We must obey God rather than men. Notice, there are boundaries for citizens and boundaries for authorities. In a democratic system of government, we citizens can express respectfully and orderly our disagreement and opposition in public demonstrations. Whenever possible, we can question the persons whom we helped to put into authority by our vote. We can also manifest our position in polling stations, electing candidates who seem righteous and honest. Having said that, let us have a short break. Please stay with us.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
The British Lutheran is the magazine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. Published 6 times per year, it looks at topical issues as well as local and international Lutheran news. The magazine also provides a forum for viewpoints and opinions that help us all consider what following Jesus means today. If you would like a free copy of the British Lutheran, contact the ELCE Central Office in Cambridge on central@lutheran.co.uk and ask for a copy to be sent to you. The British Lutheran, the magazine of the ELCE.
You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Welcome back to Love Letters. You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. We are studying Paul's letter to the Romans. We have talked so far in this study about our relationship with authorities. It has been stated that God is the supreme authority and all human authority derives from Him. Authorities have the duty to prevent and punish evil and to promote well-being. Citizens have the duty to obey the authorities, to pay taxes and revenue, and to respect and honor authorities. After speaking about the relationship of citizens with authorities, the Apostle Paul speaks about fulfilling the law through love. In his letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 to 10, the Apostle writes,
"Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law."
A little earlier, Paul said to pay taxes and revenue as owed, as well as respect and honor. Now he speaks of a much higher duty, to love each other. Owe no one anything except to love each other, the apostle says. To love is the one debt that is never paid off. No matter how much one has loved, he is under obligation to keep on loving. The debt of love remains throughout the entire life. Love increases through loving, and the more it is exercised, the less can it be satisfied.
It appears to me that all God requires in His law is love.
That's right. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. All the commandments are summarized in one short but powerful word, love. One who loves perfectly would fulfill the requirements of God's law and be righteous before Him. Although we will never attain perfection in our love, as Christians we strive to grow and improve in love.
God also commands, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes. Loving the neighbor encompasses all our social responsibilities. These responsibilities are pointed out in some of the Ten Commandments cited by Paul.
You shall not commit adultery.
Love remains faithful to the marriage partner. Love leads a pure and decent sexual life as well as in all what one says and does. Love supports the marriage partner no matter what.
You shall not murder.
Love cares for one's own life and for the life of others. Love keeps and supports life through healthy eating and drinking, through healthy rest and entertainment. Love cares for the life of others and supports the neighbor in every physical need.
You shall not steal.
Love does not take the neighbor's money or possessions, or acquires them in any dishonest ways, but helps the neighbor to improve and protect his possessions and income.
You shall not covet.
Love is content with God's gifts and receives them with thanksgiving. Love neither envies the neighbor, nor is love jealous of what others possess or what others are. Love by no means entices or forces away the neighbor's possessions. Love is the fulfilling of the law. My love falls short. It is far from perfect, and so is yours. But then, there is Jesus' love to turn to. Jesus is love in His essence. He is the inexhaustible fountain of love. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. That is precisely what Jesus did. Jesus' love covers our faults. His love inspires and enables us to love. Love by Him, we love our neighbor. To close this chapter, the apostle speaks about living in the light. In Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, we read,
besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarrelling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires.
How much time is there left for us to lead a life of faith, a life of love?
We really don't know whether there will be a tomorrow. Our life could come to the end at any moment. So also the world could come to the end at any moment. Jesus Christ promised to return to earth to judge the living and the dead. However, he did not reveal the day or the hour. The fact is that the day is drawing near. Each day takes us nearer to Jesus' return. The apostle says, "Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. This present age of darkness is passing away. Light is dawning."
Taking into account that Christ could return at any moment, the sleeping time is over.
Correct. It is time to wake up from sleep. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. It is time for us Christians to undress the pajamas and to put on the working clothes. It is a time of keeping busy.
Keeping busy doing what?
Casting away whatever is evil, sinful, and detestable to God, such as orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality and sensuality, quarreling and jealousy. These things belong to the darkness, to the night, says the apostle. Dress them off, get rid of them. Instead, dress on Jesus Christ, that is, live as forgiven children of God. Be active in love. Keep focused on the goal of eternal salvation. To fulfill our duties towards civil authorities, we can count on God, who is the supreme authority, who governs our lives and provides for them. To love our neighbor as ourselves, we can count on the perfect love of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. To walk in the light and to lead a God-pleasing life, we can count again on Jesus Christ, who enables and equips us. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. My name is Arno Bessel. I am pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. To find out more about the Lutheran Church in Plymouth, go to stpeterslutherans.co.uk. Welcome to our Sunday services at 11 a.m. and our Bible studies on Wednesday at 7 p.m. To find the nearest Lutheran congregation to you, go to lutheran.co.uk. Locate on the website directory, and there you will find a list of the congregations. We will be back at the same time next week to continue reflecting on love letters. We hope you will join us to study the theme, Unity by Mutual Acceptance and Support. Should you have any questions or comments on our studies of love letters, please write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Note also that the podcast of our studies is available for download. All you need to do is to go to lutheranradio.co.uk, find podcasts, and select Love Letters. Please stay tuned into Lutheran Radio UK and enjoy the next program. God bless and keep you.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Check our program times online at lutheranradio.co.uk and stay tuned. All of our programs are broadcast on Greenwich Mean Time. Look up our website for the times in your region.